over and eternity. Now you have in your hands, if you pick up your Bible, you have in your hands the only book in the world which gives you the accurate information concerning God's plan, God's creation, and what He's doing. And it all hinges on the Passover. Now let me read the foreword from the day Jesus the Christ died. From eternity past, before the foundation of the world, God the Father and God the Son planned for and predetermined the day Jesus the Christ would die. In the history of the universe, no other day can be compared with it. So profound was this day that it will always be remembered even into the ages of eternity to come. This day of destiny was the ultimate culmination of the spiritual battle for the lives of men. A battle waged between Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Savior of mankind, and Satan the devil, adversary of God and destroyer of mankind. This fierce battle was centered in Jerusalem, but its outcome would determine the destiny of the world. It was the power of God versus the power of Satan, the advocate versus the adversary, love versus hatred, good versus evil, humility versus pride, compassion versus brutality, righteousness versus sin, and forgiveness versus condemnation. All the evil forces and powers of the world were gathered together against one man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would be victorious. Would good finally triumph over evil? We're going to see that all of this was planned before the foundation of the world. And this will help us understand the great calling that God has for us. Just think. That God has opened our minds and with His Spirit given us understanding of the great and tremendous value of the Word of God and what it shows us and what it tells us and what it brings to our mind and our attention. Now let's come back to Genesis 1:1 and let's read here. Because there are some things here that we need to understand that tell us some very interesting things. So let's read verse 1 again. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's ask a few questions. Is God eternal? Yes, indeed. Some people think that God didn't create the heavens and the earth until somewhere around 6,000 years ago. So, question. What was God, and that includes the angels too. What was God doing all that time in eternity until 6,000 years ago? Well, let's read it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Those were created first. He didn't simultaneously create the heavens and the earth, and the Bible tells us that. After he created the heavens, let's come here to a very important scripture. Let's come to the book of Job. I think it's chapter 38. If not, get in the vicinity and we'll find it. How's that? Okay. Job 38. Let's pick it up in verse 1. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now, don't wish for God to talk with you by challenging him. Like some people say, well, I'll believe the Bible when God tells me personally. Well, you better read the book of Job, okay? So God says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now your loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and you answer me. So here's how God starts it out. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And I've never been able to figure on the round earth where the four corners of the earth are. And I've looked at a globe and have analyzed it. I thought, North Pole, South Pole, Bermuda Triangle, and the equivalent over in the far Pacific. I thought, maybe that's it. Don't know. So God says, declare if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know? Who has stretched out the line upon them? Now hold your place here and let's come to the book of Isaiah. Let's see something about the creation of heaven. Okay? Let's see what God says about that. Isaiah 40. Now this has to do with God's creation. Okay? Very similar to what we see back here in Job 38. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. And this is always very humbling. It's amazing the vanity of men, especially atheists. So God challenges them. We'll tie this in with the challenge of Job. Isaiah 40 and verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? And meted out the heavens with a span. Now today we've got all of these glorious pictures of the universe. And when you understand where the earth is in this galaxy in relation to the rest of the universe, the earth is about the only place in the entirety of the universe where you can look out and see the universe with clarity like we have here. So God says, metered it out with a span, comprehend the dust of the earth in a measure. Now a measure, whatever measure you want to take. Take a measuring cup, a measuring spoon, a measuring shovel, whatever it is. And God comprehends all the dust of the earth, everything that is here. And weighed the mountains in scales. And the hills in a balance. And they still can't figure out how God made the mountains. I know I saw a special, I think it was on the National Geographic, the mountains that run from the tip of South America all the way up through South America. You have a little low spot there in Panama, and then the mountains go up in Mexico, up into the Sierras, and then you have the Rocky Mountains going, and those go on up into Canada, and those go all the way on up into Alaska. And I remember the last time I was flying to Seattle, I could look out. We're flying west of the Cascade Mountains, and I counted 7 volcanoes. And I thought to myself, what would we do if all 7 of them blew off at the same time? But there was a time when God was creating the earth, that he used that as a means of creating land, of making the earth. So this has all to do about it, see? Or who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who, being his counselor, taught him? Oh, God, here's the way to make that star. Oh, God, here's the way to make this star. Let's make one of frozen methane. Let's make another one of gas. Okay? And when you look at it's interesting, the 7 planets of the solar system. You have Jupiter out there, and you have Saturn, and you have Uranus. And they are all gaseous bodies. And what do? They protect the Earth from all of the asteroids that are coming toward it. And you have a huge magnetic field coming out from the sun, reaching out to Saturn, and Saturn's magnetic field reaching back toward the Earth, and the Earth's magnetic field that keeps the earth the way that it is. And it's fantastic the way that God has done it. And by the way, there's no such thing as global warming. God has turned off the sun and we're headed for an ice age in 100,000 years. Hey? All right. Who taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, all the nations are as a drop of a bucket. So how important compared to God? How important is everything in the world? Well, get yourself an eyedropper and just drop one drop. Boop. Compared to God, that's it. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very small thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And here is why God has to judge the world. Because they make idols, statues, worship Satan, worship demons. So God says, verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or of what likeness shall you compare unto him? Then it talks about how the workman works it out and so forth and so on. Let's come down here to verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? And there's going to be a lot we're going to cover from the foundation of the earth. Because God's plan started before the foundation of the earth. So we're looking at the heavens, we're looking at the earth, but what I want to concentrate now is on the heavens. It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and that stretches out the heaven as a curtain, and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Now it's very interesting, tent to dwell in. They now have instruments which can detect but cannot see. Energy matter, which they now call the fourth dimension. And the whole universe is held together with cobweb-like structures. And when you come to the galaxies, there is like a cocoon or a halo around each one of them. And this is how God holds the whole universe together. So we are seeing, what is being detected is the power of God that upholds the whole universe. Okay? Spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. So that is a really good description of that, isn't it? that brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth his vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, they shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them. They shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Now, the reason I'm going through this is so we can understand what God has done for us, and he has planned this long, long before the creation of the earth. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Here's where we begin to get humility, and this is also what happened with Abraham. Remember what God said to Abraham? You come out here, you look at the stars. Now, are you able to number them? He said, so shall your seed be. So he says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things, that brings out their host by number, so every one of them is numbered, and calls them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one fails. Now think of it at the other end of the scale. What did Jesus say about the sparrow? That even if a sparrow dies and falls to the ground, God is aware of it. And furthermore, all the hairs on our head are numbered. So God knows us intimately. That's why he wants a relationship with us. And that's why all the religions of the world are bankrupt, defunct, counterfeit, stealing the words of God, stealing part of the laws of God, and they are all in the way of Cain, though they proclaim themselves to be serving God. How do you know who's serving God? Those who keep his commandments and love him and teach God's way and live God's way. That's how you know them. There are very few. Witness this room. It's not exactly full. Okay? Come back here to Job 38. Job 38 and verse 6. Now, on what are the foundations thereof fastened? Job says in another place that the earth hangs in heaven. And God holds it all together by the energy of his power, the fourth dimension, and magnetism. That's how it's held together. Question is, what is dark matter? Dark matter is dark matter. We don't know what it is, but those seem to be central points of cleansing the universe by taking in all the trash that is generated from colliding stars and so forth. And it also seems to be various power centers which uphold the universe. And I've got a book at home called Joseph Newman's Energy Machine. And I think he's right in his analysis of it. The whole universe is like one big, huge, flying saucer. Or like a galaxy that is a spiral where the center is full and then the arms go out to the side. The whole universe. Then within that are the galaxies and so forth. So God has it all. Now, let's continue here in verse 6. Okay? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Now notice, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What does this tell us? God created the heavens, and then he created the angels before he created the earth. So God did not create the heavens and the earth at the same time. Now, we were talking earlier So you can learn a lot of things if you watch some of these things, but it was on the, you can tell what my television habits are. National Geographic and History Channel. And I was watching a special on dinosaurs, and dinosaurs are now beginning to understand, especially the two-legged kind, were more like giant ostriches. Now remember the people, remember the people that put out about creation that you have footprints of men and footprints of dinosaurs together? All right. Not so. Because those footprints, which they say are dinosaur footprints, are exactly like ostrich footprints, only they're bigger. You don't have them with the round elephant type. These are more the bird kind. But anyway, they now know that some of these dinosaurs were more like ostriches and birds, and some of them had feathers. All right. This tells us God created the heavens. Then he created the angels, because the angels were there when he laid the foundation of the earth. You think that's fair? Assumption, a fair conclusion to draw? Okay. Now, in measuring these bones, you have a big problem in measuring the age. If their measurements are correct with the age of the soil that they measure, what is the problem in measuring the age of the bones? Problem is this. When they become fossilized, the minerals from the soil leach into the bones and replace the bone structure itself, and it becomes petrified like rock. So you cannot tell the age of the animal, the bones that were left, by measuring the age of the bones, because you're not measuring the age of the bones, you're measuring the age of the soil in which the bones were buried. However, God being God and living forever, and the vastness of the universe demands that that part of eternity past has to be billions and billions of years. Now let's go on. Let's find out a little bit more. We know, we'll just summarize here. Revelation 12. The great serpent, the devil, he rebelled. He took a third of the angels with him in the rebellion, correct? So there was war in heaven. We also find in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 about the rise and fall of Satan. Now, let's come back to Genesis, the first chapter. As we're turning back there, let's ask the question. Were the animals of the dinosaurs part of the creation that God originally gave to the angels on the earth before they rebelled? And is what happened to the dinosaurs the result of the rebellion? Because what happens when there is rebellion and war? There is chaos, confusion, and the Hebrew is tohu and bohu. So I think that we have at least in the past understood this quite correctly, back here in Genesis 1 and verse 2. So we have the sequence of creation this. The heavens, the angels, the earth, and the book of Jude seems to indicate that their first estate was on the earth. Then the rebellion. Then the war in heaven and the war on earth. Now, we come to verse 2. And the earth was or became without form and void. Now, God didn't make it without form and void, because all of the angels rejoiced. Why would the angels rejoice? Because this was probably their inheritance. So they rebelled. Why did they rebel? And why did the earth become without form and void? And why does the strata of the earth show two floods? One with the dinosaurs, one with warm-blooded animals at a later time. Because the earth was covered with water. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. There you have it. Now, why would the angels rebel? Well, God gives the creatures that He makes, He gives them free moral agency. Okay? Just like us. But why do Lucifer and a third of the angels rebel? And we'll see, God had His plan before the foundation of the world. So what was it? Let's come to Psalm the eighth Psalm. Psalm 8. Here's why. Psalm 8. Now, the King James Version doesn't bring this out. I don't know what the New King James Version has, but the New American Standard has it right. But let's read it here, beginning Psalm 8 in verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who has set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, You have ordained strength because of Your enemies, that You might still the enemy and be the avenger. Still the enemy and the avenger. Okay? God still does this, doesn't He? You read back in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, about our calling. You know, we didn't, when you all came in here today, including myself, we did not have pages and trumpeters out there because the prince of so-and-so was coming in here, or the president was coming in here, and Obama Osama was not here, okay? And neither was Hillary Billery, and neither was McCain, see? Because God has chosen the things that are not, because He's going to change us and convert us and qualify us to rule with Christ in the kingdom of God. Furthermore, all human beings who eventually will be saved will become like Christ, which means they're greater than the angels. So let's read on. Verse 3. When I consider the heavens, again, the way you are humbled is look into the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Especially since they've been cut off from you, God. And most of them being cut off, what is man that he would be mindful of those that he would call? See, because I want you to understand something, brethren. And we have to pray for the churches of God. Too many of them are so involved in self and power and trying to tell God what to do that God is going to have to punish them so severely in the near future that they're not going to know which end is up. See, because just like Satan and the angels couldn't handle it, when God revealed to them that He was going to make man, and man would eventually, through the process of salvation, become greater than they. See, we have been made privy to the greatest secret of God in the entirety of the universe. We need to grasp that. It's not a church so we can become better and improve ourselves. It is church when we gather together that we learn to become like God. And that God is dealing in our lives to bring us salvation and put us into a relationship with Him that even though the rest of the world can look at us and see us, they don't have a clue as to what's going on. Now that's an amazing work. You think of that. That is humbling too. Because who are we? Here we are toward the end of man's rule and reign. And everything has been given to us. All the Word of God. We live in an age where everything is at our fingertips. And He's given this knowledge. And how do we treat it? We were talking about it at lunch, and I reassured Harry that, yes, we're repentant Laodiceans. See? Only those who've been in the church a long time understand that. Okay. Now notice verse 5. This becomes very important because this is the heart and core of it. For you have made Him a little lower than God. Not the angels. Yes, we're made lower than the angels because the angels are spirit beings. But we're made lower than God for the purpose of what? To become the sons and daughters of God, correct? Yes. And you have made Him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you put all things under His feet, and so forth. Now let's come back to Genesis 1. So when God created the earth and then recreated it after the rebellion, then we have 7 days of recreation to prepare for man. After God set in order the seas, the earth, the plants, the birds, the fish, the animals, then we come to man. Verse 26. This becomes a key thing in understanding about the plan of God. And God said, let us. It's God the Father and God the Son. Okay? Let us make man in our image. See, because He didn't consult the heavenly host in this. After the earth was created, the angels of God shouted for joy. Didn't say they participated in it. See? Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so we have all of these tremendous abilities as human beings. But because we are imperfect and we're made of the flesh of the dust of the earth, we have all these imperfections. I mean, just think of it. Now, when we were down in Waco, we spent some time with Chad and Rochelle, and little Zachary's doing fine. He weighs about 13, 14 pounds now. And we held him in our arms and looked at him. He was beautiful. He was perfect. But guess what? He's still flesh. And as perfect as the flesh can be, however perfection that is, it is still limited, isn't it? Yes, indeed. But to be made in the image and likeness of God is to then be after the God kind. And I'm sure this was revealed to the angels, and that's why Lucifer and a third of the angels rebelled. And then He gave him the dominion of the whole earth over everything. So God is generous, isn't He? Yes, indeed. Now let's come over here to chapter 2 and verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you know the story. You know the account. God put him in the garden, commanded him to dress it and keep it, and also that means to guard it. So some of these scriptures you know so well, we're not going to go ahead and read through. And then there was not a helpmeet found for Adam. So then God created Eve, and they were married. He understood what it was. He was created with a language, functioning language, both of them, so they could talk and communicate. God could talk with them. They could talk with God. They could talk to each other, and so forth. Now then, we know also what happened. God told him, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So I'll add to this CD what the world would have been like if Adam and Eve had not sinned. Because God could work it either way, just like with us. We can, with choice, let's put it this way. How do you overcome sin today? With God's Spirit and help and power, you choose to overcome sin. You choose not to sin. They could have chosen not to eat of the tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. But Satan came in, and he was more cunning than any of the other creation of God. And he comes to Eve. And he says, is it true that God said you can't eat of any of the trees of the garden? She said, no, that's not right. We can eat of the trees, but the one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God says that in the midst of the garden we're not to eat, we're not to touch of it. Okay? So Satan said, in the form of the serpent, God's not telling you the truth. If you eat of it, then you'll become like God. See? Now, why would Satan say that? Did he know God's plan previously? Yes, indeed he did. And he knew that mankind was destined to become the sons and daughters of God, correct? So he perverted it with a counterfeit saying, you shall become like God, deciding what is good and what is evil for yourself. You don't have to rely on God to tell you what's good and evil. You can do it yourself. Now, with all the brain power and things that God gave human beings, and of course, human beings have this innermost feeling that they want to improve. I mean, all you have to do is just watch television, right? Everything's to improve, better this, better that, make more money here, do this, be weigh less, look better, look younger, stronger, improve your mind, learn another language, take this drug if it doesn't kill you, you know, and all this sort of thing, okay? And I think it was epitomized when I saw part of a clip of Oprah Winfrey, and I'll have a lot to say about Oprah Winfrey because she's going to turn out to be a very damaging false prophetess in the near future, currently going on right now. And I pictured Eve when I heard her say it. She got up there and said, I am a free woman. I am a free woman. I am a free woman and I will do what I choose to do. And I thought, ooh, I wonder if that's what Eve said. Reminded me of it. I had this sermon on my mind. And Satan's way is to say there's no such thing as sin. And if you decide to choose for yourself in dying, you're not going to die. See, the old story, your soul will go to heaven. See, because in the creation of man. God also did something that I have in the translation there that is coming, which in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, it says that God put the world in the heart of man. It is God put eternity in the heart of man. God put the sense of something beyond himself. And so that's why there are all these religions trying to do it their way instead of God's way. So you know the rest of the story. Eve came up to Adam and said, here, try this. You'll like it. This is pretty good stuff. I ate it. Now, he was with her. He was listening to the conversation. Now, was Adam thinking to himself, well, if she takes it, I won't be held accountable. Okay. And I really want to eat of it, but I don't want to pick it. I'll let her do it. Who knows? Could be many different things concerning it. Nevertheless, they ate it. Their eyes were open to evil. That is true. And what is the thing they talk about today in the New Age movement? Free yourselves from the shackles of religion. Free yourselves from the bondage of laws and commandments. And you, by the goodness that's within you, can be illuminated. That's Satan's way of leading people down to death. What happened here? So God came, you know the rest of the story. Now, let's pick it up here after, you know, they were hiding from God. Well, you can't hide from God. But anyway, God found him, said, did you eat of the tree? Yeah, it's the woman. And he said to the woman, did you do it? He said, oh, it's the serpent. See? Well, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all livestock, above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and you shall eat, dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Now verse 15 becomes a key focus verse. Because when you understand it, this verse contains within it the whole plan of God in outline. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Now we have the physical woman Eve and her physical offspring. We have the spiritual woman, the church, and the offspring of that. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Talking about what? Two things. Crucifixion of Christ, and the elimination of Satan as a power. Where do we find that fulfilled in the Bible? We have the elimination of Satan as a power where? Revelation 20, correct? And the crucifixion of Christ is prophesied all the way down through the Bible in various places, isn't it? But let's notice something that's important that we need to realize. And this is part of the secret that God has shown us, that, as Jesus said, that we know things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And no other book in the world goes from eternity past into eternity in the future. One starts with the beginning. God created the heavens. That's the eternity past. And then later the earth. And then when it's into the eternity, into the future, after the plan of God is completed, and it all hinges on the Passover. The Passover and the crucifixion of Christ is the fulcrum of the whole plan of God. And the eternity in the future is Revelation 21 and 22, and it gives us a glimpse of what? New heavens, new earth, new Jerusalem, etc., right? Yes. And all of the physical components that were found in the Garden of Eden and later in the temple, the tabernacle and the temple, are found in New Jerusalem. So this is something. You talk about knowledge that you have that God has given us. It's incredible. Now let's look at some of these things here. Let's come to Revelation 13. Let's go to the next track, please.